Murder in Paradise, written by Anne Cleves, read by Sean Barrett. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. It was August. The weather was good, and the men decided to start the harvest. The older children were not away at school yet. The work was all by hand, and everyone was needed. Later, the teacher and his wife came to help. Other islands in the group were using machines to do the harvest, but Kines was still using the old ways. There was a tractor. Alec had a tractor, and they used that to carry the hay from the fields to the crofts. They worked on each person's land in turn, starting at the south of the island. Everyone, except the very young and infirm, was helping. Mothers brought their children with them. A baby slept in a pram in the sun. Toddlers played at the edge of the field. At midday, they all ate together outside, where they were working. The islanders were not poor, but the harvest was always done this way. They worked quickly, while the weather lasted. It was unusual to have such a long spell of good weather. Storms could come quickly, without warning, and the harvest could be ruined. They wanted it finished by the time Jim brought his bride back in September. Some of them were going south for the wedding. So they worked quickly, and for a while the rhythm of the harvest, the bending to gather and tie into stooks, the collection of the stooks together to dry, and the movement of the tractor from field to croft, ruled the island. Sarah wanted to get to the island as quickly as possible. "Why bother with a honeymoon?" she said as they were planning the wedding. "Why not go straight to the island? We'll have our honeymoon there."
"There'll be no chance for a honeymoon once we're there," Jim said, and they decided on Cornwall.
Sarah had never been to Kinness. She had arranged to go once to see it and meet Jim's family, but then her father had been ill and she was forced to cancel the trip. She was quite determined, though, that they should live there once they were married. Where else would they live? When she first met Jim, he was working as an assistant manager on a big farm in Cheshire, and she was a student midwife in Liverpool. They had met at a party in the rugby club, where her brother was a member. Jim had just joined and seemed detached from the rowdy good temper of the other young men. It seemed to Sarah that he was more mature than they were, but a little lonely. He treated her with old-fashioned politeness. In those first few months of their relationship, he drank a good deal, but gave nothing of himself away. This aroused Sarah's curiosity and presented something of a challenge. She had just attended a course in psychiatry and thought that he was repressed. He had not told her at first where he came from. She was English and did not recognize his accent. Later, she was grateful for that. She would not have known if he had told her whether she was attracted to him or to the romantic idea that he belonged to the island. By the time he told her where he had spent his childhood, she was convinced that she loved him. She had heard of the island because it had featured in one of the colour magazines of a Sunday newspaper. The pictures of the crofts and the cliffs, the detailed description of the life there, had caught her imagination. She especially remembered the faces, weary and cheerful, which stared out of the pages at her. The piece had been called A Study of Paradise. She was surprised when he asked her to marry him. He had become more relaxed with her, laughed more easily, and there had been moments of passion, though he seemed almost apologetic about them afterwards. But there had been no intimacy. She did not feel that she knew him. He told her that a croft had become vacant on Kinness, and that it had been offered to him. "But we would not need to live on the island," he said. "It might be better not to live there."
"But you love it," she said. "I can tell from the way you talk about it. You wouldn't be happy anywhere else."
This was wishful thinking. She could not tell what he thought about the island, because he hardly ever talked about it. She thought his reluctance to move back was on her behalf. She enjoyed the honeymoon, but all the time they were in Cornwall she was thinking about moving to the island. "Make the most of this," Jim said. "You'll be there soon enough." But she pestered him to tell her about it, to describe the people and the house where they would live, and to go over the plans for the journey, until he was quite irritated.